Welcome to the Generous Life Podcast. This is Lori Farquhar, president of NCF South Florida, and I am joined today in the studio with Mr. Michael Booth. Mike is our gift planning attorney, and he hails from Atlanta, Georgia, where NCF is headquartered, and that's really where the brain trust is. So all the experts in gift planning and charitable strategies are up in Atlanta, but Mike operates as part of our team here locally in South Florida, and so we get to host him a few times a year. And Mike, welcome to South Florida.
Thanks, Laurie. It's always a joy to come to South Florida. As you know, it's one of my favorite places to come. But it's always a joy to be part of the work that you're doing here and being able to really see God's handiwork as far as in the lives with people and the generosity movement that's really happening here in South Florida. It's always very encouraging. So it's always a joy to be here.
Excellent, excellent. NCF nationally, vision is to reach and restore each person to the heart of Christ. And we do that with NCF by inspiring biblical generosity. Locally, our mission is redefining generosity and reimagining community. And so, Mike, you get to experience that while you're here because we do run you up and down the coast.
You do that. I usually start, the joy of working with the West Palm office, of course, Fort Lauderdale, Broward County, Miami, and even a lot of times running over to Naples as well. So you'll have a tremendous footprint, and it's a joy to work with that and to work with the families. And again, you and your team, I pinch myself on a regular basis. The joy of getting to do this is just amazing. I've been with NCF now for 17 years getting to do this. So actually my title now is senior gift planner. And I guess that's from the standpoint of being around long enough. And what hair I do have is now gray. So to give you an idea. But again, the joy of working with families and being able to really see how they can utilize really gifting across the board from not only cash to non-liquid assets. And so, yeah, it's fun. And y'all keep me on the run. So that's always it's always a great time to be here.
Well, Mike, we are just so pleased to be able to tap into that brain trust of yours. And you know a few things because you've seen a few things.
That's true.
And, as part of our Invest network here, we're investing in the kingdom together. And we do that through all the NCF platforms. And Mike experiences this not only with the South Florida affiliate, but also some other affiliates, all the Florida affiliates, and then a few others, Alabama and
Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, Southeastern states. And this is something that he and his team in Atlanta, they think about and wake up doing every day. And just there's a wealth of knowledge there, but also the creativity always strikes me because every time Mike comes down, he shares, some things he's working on, and it's always something new, something different. And there's so many ways that we can leverage NCF to really help create just very, very creative generosity giving vehicles. And so, Mike, I know one of the things that is a hot topic these days is this looming change to the estate tax law. So anything happening in that realm?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a good tee up. I mean, from the standpoint of getting one's house in order, so to speak, and always be mindful of the fact of taking consideration of, really why has God entrusted what he has to us. I mean, ultimately, ownership is always his. We're just stewards of that. But being wise stewards, kind of to your point that you're hitting on, a lot of the tax, what they call it, really kind of the Trump era tax situations as far as savings, and also from the estate's planning standpoint, sunset at the end of 2025. So really what that's winds up happening is roughly the personal exemption for an individual is right around the $12 million mark, a little more than that. But all that sunsets. So basically it gets reset, and more than likely it's going to hit roughly half of that. So it's going to go back retrenched to roughly $6 million per person. Mm-hmm. So a couple would go from roughly $24 million to 12, individual would be $6 million. So if you're in a taxable estate, it really is a lot of opportunity for planning, and really need to talk with your advisors in coming alongside and be able to say, wow, you know, what are some potential taxable situations that you're now going to be hit with, you know, at the time of your death? And then, of course, one of the things we always build from that is going like, well, why wait, you know, from the standpoint of planning from a testamentary standpoint, not saying that you shouldn't, you need to do your planning, but why not being able to start looking at gifting things now during lifetime, so you can actually start taking advantage of seeing the joy of gifting and be able to utilize that, and also pick up potential benefits from a more efficient type tax savings that you can. So it's a great opportunity as far as from just being aware that there are changes looming. Basically, there's gridlock in Washington right now, if you're not really attuned with that, and kind of doubtful that Congress can agree on anything. So if they don't do anything, it's going to revert back to those, again, initial thresholds. Mm-hmm. So taxes are going to increase. So this is an opportunity to, again, talk with your advisors, talk with us. We're happy to come alongside. And, you know, one thing, Laurie, I appreciate you talking about the kind of the creativity of NCF, and tremendously blessed to have a tremendous team back in Alpharetta, just north really of Atlanta. And it's amazing as what God has brought together. But really kind of start from the initial founding of NCF, just, you know, from the standpoint of Ron Blue, Larry Burkett, and Terry Parker. Terry is, of course, one of our founders, a very savvy tax attorney in the Atlanta area, still very active with NCF. So he was really the main catalyst for creating that creativity. So it's a joy to be able to kind of continue on with that, and people like David Wills and Greg Sperry and others over the years. So it's fun to kind of build on, step on their shoulders and keep this going on.
Well, a couple things that you said about giving now while you're living. And I always remember this Ron Blue quote of do your giving while you're living, so you be a knowing where it's going.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Isn't he the one that said that?
Yep.
Yep. And also Terry Parker, he's still working with our organization and so creative. He was so generous with me personally when I started at NCF. He spent about 3 hours with me just talking about the possibilities of different gift strategies. And it blew my mind, that he would be so generous with his time at his level and just the amount of things he had on his plate. But that also, it really left me with the impression of, you know what? Anything's possible. Let's not put boundaries around this giving strategy that, you know, if you've got some ideas or different ways to leverage, you know, the tax implications that might be on the table, let's talk about it. It's always worth talking about. And then I can tell you firsthand, listeners, that Mike is, he's just always thinking about alternatives. And this may be initially what you've asked for, but there could be alternatives that you've never even considered. And usually Mike will come up with those strategies and just very gently in his southern way, you know, suggest you might think about this in addition to how you're thinking. So Mike, I know that you're just engaged in all kinds of conversations right now. We've had some really good ones the last 2 days. But is there anything like new and exciting that you're working on that you could share with our listeners?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's always kind of meeting folks where they are in their life journey as far as kind of, you know, what's really kind of popping up on where their life. So, yeah, I do think of a couple that is, you know, we're talking. But before that, you know, one of the things as far as kind of always having an opportunity to always think of it in a good, my colleague, Gene McMaines, always talks about, think about this journey as like you're going, scaling this to the top of a mountain, to the summit of a mountain. And so you're going down certain paths, you know, again, you might run into some boulders one way. So instead of just stopping, you're still trying to get to the summit, right? Mm-hmm. So it just might be tacking to a different direction. So same type of thing. We might start out talking with a family where they are considering maybe a sale of a their closely held business that they've had for years and years and years. It's an S corporation, and we start getting into the details of it and realize, well, really may not have as much efficiency there as we thought there might be, as far as kind of helping them capture their greater giving goals and also pick up some tax efficiency. So what you do is you kind of tack and be able to say, okay, we've kind of reached the end of that track, but we're going to bend to the other way. Say, let's start looking at other opportunities inside of that. Maybe they have real estate holdings, you know, that they mm-hmm. might be able to turn around and make a gift to that to help offset any sort of potential taxable situation that they have with the closely held business. And, you know, there's ways if they have enough runway of far planning to be able to pull assets outside of the business itself and maybe create a subsidiary that they wind up gifting. So all that to say, there's usually many alternatives mm-hmm. from the standpoint of kind of ultimately are reaching that summit, you know, trying to get to their overall gifting goal. And I think a lot of times some donor advised fund providers don't offer that type of insight. And, you know, that's right. truly our ministry to try to come alongside with families to help them establish their gifting goals. And it's, so to me, it's truly more of a ministry, a holistic kind of review, trying to help them get what they want to accomplish as far as, mm-hmm. again, recognizing God's ownership of it all. But as far as kind of unique opportunities, probably the biggest trend that I've seen and our team and Alpharetta has seen has definitely been an uptick. I mean, nothing new, but as far as real estate, a lot of times, you know, certainly you're seeing it here in South Florida. I know we've talked about it. And of course, in the Atlanta area and some other regions that I work with, you're seeing major impact uptick in the valuations of real estate. And so a lot of times, particularly when people might have a secondary home or something like that, a beach home, lake home, as far as considering that as a vehicle to potentially help enhance some of their charitable gifting goals. Working with a family now on the Gulf Coast, where they're going through that right now. And the family has had this property for years and years and years, inherited it, and just have had a tremendous run up in the value. But realizing that ultimately God is the owner of it all, and they're wanting to honor him and that recognition of it. So making a gift of that. And that's, you know, that's undeveloped land. Mm. So, you know, from farmland to undeveloped land to that, but also to commercial buildings, you know, as far as, you know, anything in that regard, but really have seen an uptick probably in a lot of the residential, again, okay. kind of the secondary home market mm-hmm. that we're beginning to see. People, particularly here in Florida, have worked with a number of homes that they have in Western North Carolina, that they're making a gift of an interest in the secondary home before there's a potential sale. So mm-hmm. they pick up that fair market value deduction, again, for the benefit that they gift. And then usually with real estate, as long as there's no debt implications, you're able to avoid that capital gains tax. So that's really what you're diverting the capital gains tax to your donor advised fund. So just gives more dollars for giving. So it's very exciting. And again, as long as you're able to do that in enough lead time to be able to pick up that benefit. And we're here to help the advisors and the givers, and we always want to leverage the advisors, make sure they're on board with that, understand this. But again, it's a tremendous tool. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a joy to really be able to do this. And it's still amazed that I get to do this on a regular basis.
We are often caught saying we get to do this. Mm-hmm. And same, you know, as you encounter all the people at NCF, and we do. We view this as our ministry, and we do get to do it. And so it's a joy to have you here, Mike. Thanks for sharing that. So I think a couple of things that you mentioned is taxes are going up. Mm-hmm. So start thinking about how you may leverage the fact that in this country, we still get a tax deduction if we're charitable. Mm-hmm. So there's all different ways that you can do that. And then, you know, real estate seems to be on the minds of a lot of people. So if there's real estate that you hold that maybe is throwing off income that you don't need, or it's that secondary home that you're not using anymore and you don't see it, you know, gifting down to your family, that's a great opportunity to be charitable and gift that to your donor advised fund. But you wouldn't want to gift property that you're currently living in or that you're actually using on a regular basis, right?
No, it's something we can certainly talk to about, but normally no, that it usually doesn't make sense. Though there are occasions that it might, and it probably goes to just one thing to kind of add in the overall scope and planning as far as what families need to think about. And I know you've heard me say this several times in my good old Southern Georgia way of thinking on things, but it's people think of really kind of three buckets as far as kind of what you have, what God's entrusted to you. So as you're planning, you always want to make sure that you and if you're married, your spouse are taken care of during their lifetime. Never want to give away anything that you're going to potentially need. The second bucket is from the standpoint of dependents, as far as children or anybody else that you want to make sure that they're taken care of, or however you want to show an expression of love, as far as being able to say, you know, at the time of, again, this is kind of an overall planning from a testamentary standpoint, but saying, how do I want to bless them? And then the third bucket is if there's anything above and beyond that, kind of the surplus. And which kind of goes back to the same thing you hit on with Ron Blue. And that's really the area that we start looking at and going like, well, why wait till the end of your life to do those type of gifting? I mean, granted, you can make that part of it, but start taking advantage of that now and start seeing the joy of the gifting of that. And a lot of times kind of where I'm coming back to is that's where those secondary homes and those type things kind of reside. And so it's taking advantage of that. Kind of an added layer, and you know this, and we've had a lot of conversations with families that are contemplating sales of businesses and those type things, and just know that that's a catalyst that we can come alongside succession planning. You know, they might want to get it over to family members or key employees. And just know that, again, using and utilizing the donor advised fund can be a potential way of really kind of helping them advance their gifting goals while also picking a lot of efficiencies. And also potentially, even if they wanted to get it over to employees themselves through an ESOP. In fact, as we talked about that yesterday with some advisors here locally.
So if you're thinking about an ESOP, how would that work with a donor advised fund?
Well, of course, there's lots of things that go into place before they do that. I mean, they have certainly have to get the ESOP folks in place and set up the necessary trust. But the same idea as far as kind of whatever they determine what they want to go over to the employees, they make a gift of the shares to the donor advised fund, and then the ESOP winds up purchasing that those shares from the NCF donor advised fund.
And what's the benefit to the business owner for doing that strategy?
Well, similar to like these other transactions, like we're talking about real estate or any, you know, they pick up the fair market value deduction and, of course, able to divert the capital gains tax towards the benefit of greater charitable gifting. But also, so they pick up not only the charitable benefit, but they also in the satisfaction of knowing that they're moving their business over to employees. So a lot of times, you know, that's certainly a driver from a families who create a small business and they don't necessarily want a third party coming in and completely disrupting the whole mindset or the environment of the business, and they want to get it over to key employees. So it's a double benefit there as far as what they're able to provide.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Just thinking about the legacy that somebody could leave by these different strategies. Mm-hmm. And we definitely have a number of examples right here in South Florida of people that have donated stock to their donor advised funds and then had either key employees or their children that were taking on ownership of the business, buy it back over time through an installment note mm-hmm. that NCF holds, and they're really not out of pocket because as they receive distributions from the company, those distributions are used to pay off the installment note, which goes back to the business owner's donor advised fund to fuel their generosity.
Yep.
And it's just an amazing cycle. Mm-hmm. And it really is it's a creative way to think about that, but it also truly benefits them from a tax advantage standpoint all the way around, because the key employee or the heir, they're getting a stepped up basis in that stock. So they're not going to be hit with a huge tax bite at some point. Is that all correct?
Yeah, no, absolutely. From a planning. And again, we always want to make sure and engage their advisors to make sure they're tracking with that. But really at the end of the day, the biggest joy, you know, of course, NCF, our donor advised fund, our main purpose is we're a grant making organization. And our main desire is to ultimately have greater dollars in for charitable purposes. But again, if you pick up the tax benefits along the way, great. You mm-hmm. know, that's the gravy that's on top.
Well, because you're giving the money
right.
away
right.
to somebody. You're mm-hmm. either giving it to the IRS mm-hmm. or you could put it in your donor advised mm-hmm. fund and use it for other types of charitable giving.
Yep. But definitely, if you already have that mindset, that charitable heart intent, you know, absolutely take advantage of, you know, you hit on it. I mean, from the very beginnings of the United States, even the most recent, and you can find this, even though, believe it or not, there's a lot of turmoil, obviously, in kind of Washington between the, mm-hmm. both houses or both parties. Usually, there's pretty good continuity as far as recognizing the benefit of charitable giving. Because really both parties usually see that there is a benefit as far as ultimately helping the greater good of society. Certainly from a Christian standpoint, you know, our greatest calling is that, you know, ultimately honoring the Lord.
Right.
And being able to utilize that. So lots of good history there, and it's certainly something to continue to build on. And as long as we have that benefit, you know, be able to try to maximize it as much as we can. But yeah, it's fun to get to do this. And again, appreciate the work that you're doing, this team here. I tell you this on, you know, regular basis.
Say it again. We want to hear it.
No, y'all are a joy. It's my favorite office, and the other offices, they always go like, I can't believe you said that. But I don't mean it as far as any slight against them, but it's really just the impact that you're having in your community as far as how your outreach, multifaceted, as mm-hmm. far as more from the standpoint of just doing the work that we do, but as far as truly trying to change the lives in the community of South Florida. So that's always fun. It's a joy mm-hmm. to see. So.
Well, when you bring generous givers together with business owners and business leaders in the community that are looking to integrate their faith into their work, and then partner with churches and ministries on some of the city movement stuff we do, it is a really cool thing, I have to admit. Mm-hmm. So, Mike, thank you so much for being here. It's a joy to have you. And we're going to give you a little break this afternoon. I hear there's a boat ride in store for you down the Miami River. So we look forward to that. And thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. It's always a joy.
Thank you for listening today. If you'd like to learn more about some of these generosity strategies that NCF has, feel free to give the office a call. I'd be happy to chat with you about that further, or you can always check us out on ncfgiving.com/South Florida.